Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, with all that talk of being sucked into a black hole, we'll all need our resilience skills for this and the increasingly fast-paced, busy modern life we live in. It can be a challenge for all of us, but what happens when it comes to young adults finding their way and how they can develop resilience skills to navigate the various challenges and obstacles that may come their way? Well, for more, I'm joined here in studio by Dr. Harry Barry. He's a GP and mental health specialist. And from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology in the University of Limerick. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
I suppose we'll start maybe with you, Harry. Emotional resilience skills. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an awful lot of discussion about the word resilience. We heard it all right through the whole morning in your program. Everybody was talking about resilience. But emotional resilience are these special skills that actually make life so much easier. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about lifestyle skills like learning how to cook, you know, simple things, learning how to use personal finances, washing machine, all the things that our adolescents, by the way, a lot of the time don't know what to do. And actually, when they hit real life, it's actually really good for them. So parents out there, try and get them involved in that. But emotional resilience skills are these. Resilience comes from the term resilio, which means to bounce back. So it's our ability when we hit life, because life is all about difficulties and problems and emotional problems, which are actually the most challenging for us all. So emotional resilience skills are skills like unconditional self-acceptance, learning how to manage failure, how to manage discomfort, catastrophizing, how to not to be a perfectionist, how to problem solve, empathy, verbal cues, conversation, coping with the unfairness of life, and so on. Right. That kind of broad sweep of skills, which I tried to deal with in one of my books, Emotional Resilience. But they're really critical skills. Now, the cynic would say, and Anne-Marie would probably agree with this, that we adults frequently lack a lot of these skills and could very much do with upskilling in many of these areas. But for our poor adolescents who are trying to come out of this cocoon that they live in, and hit the real world when they become a young adult, these skills are what will make the difference between handling it no problem and really struggling.
Okay. And Anne-Marie, in terms of looking at the environment, as Harry says, the children are coming out of, they've been protected by parents, they've been told, you know, the most optimistic version of life, they've been encouraged and told they can achieve anything. So is a bit more reality needed to be introduced at an earlier stage in order to help them gain skills like of the kind that Harry is talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a really tricky time actually to be a parent of an adolescent, because there is so much discourse about resilience, and we're also very aware, and we might have been in previous generations, but we're very aware that adolescence is a time when many mental health issues begin to emerge. So if you come through adolescence unscathed with no mental health challenges, you're not guaranteed a straightforward life, but you have a much more decent shot than if you do develop mental health issues in adolescence. And it's important then to develop resilience in the face of adversity, because that will protect you from these mental health issues. So it's a really tricky thing for parents to know how to achieve that. And I think one really easy way of thinking about it is, in terms of the everyday stressors that your child will meet, are they able to meet them, or are you kind of helping them along too much on the way? And it's hard to know what's the exact right amount of support to give. But when stressors come up, for example, maybe there is an exam coming up, right, the mock exams for junior cert or something like that, how able is the young person in your life to manage those? How able are they to manage those without a lot more help than their peers? And I think that gives you a good indicator.
Can I ask you, just, you know, a lot of a stressor in the life of an adolescent could be something like, you know, having enough friends, making friends, maybe wanting other friends than the ones you have. How do you teach acceptance with saying, look, some people, I just won't get on with some people, or some people won't want to get on with me, and accepting your own circle and being liked on your own terms?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think peer relationships are so important in adolescence. They really come to the fore then. And parents will always be important, but peer relationships are where it's at for young people. And dare I say, young people of that age, they mightn't be interested in listening to what you think of the friends they should have or how they should have them. So it can be difficult to maybe have a head-on conversation about this kind of acceptance. I often think modelling or discussing it in a way that isn't preaching to somebody is helpful. So that when I say modelling, I mean demonstrating or discussing at home. So it could be even discussing your own friendships or reflecting aloud on how your friendships might have changed or how much you thought you wanted to be part of a particular group but found that you really had a lot in common with some other people that you formed lifelong friendships with. And having these kind of discussions and modelling that kind of acceptance yourself and emotional resilience skills yourself, I think is a nice way of allowing the young person to be in this environment where they see what it's like to cope with interpersonal difficulties and what it's like to cope with stressors. And that can sometimes be more effective than saying, I'm going to talk to you now about the friends you have and who you should and shouldn't be friends with. I mean, a conversation head on is still very welcome, but I think there's a lot to be said for the modelling and the demonstration as well.
And Harry, how important is it that if a young person is finding it difficult to cope with something or expresses a fear that you think is exaggerated about the situation they're in, to hear the fear and meet them where they are rather than saying, well, don't be worrying about that.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
Absolutely. But, you know, I keep coming back to this concept of somebody came up to me recently and said, you know, we're doing a big thesis on the whole area of resilience. So I said to them, well, I hope you're looking at the skills you need to be resilient. And they said, oh, no, we're not looking at those. And I said, well, how in God's name should we, you know, why should we talk about resilience if we don't teach the skills that you need to be resilient? And the mother load, as Jamie would often say in his cooking, the mothership of emotion resilience is self-acceptance, unconditional self-acceptance.
What do you mean by that?
What we mean by that is we all are playing the rating game. And if you talk to young people, isn't it funny now, I did this exercise down with a group of young people and the response was amazing. They got it so much quicker than the adults. They really got it. They understood what I was talking about.
What's the game? What happened?
The game is all about where we ask the person to rate themselves as a human being, as a person between 1 and 100. And we ask them, where do they think other people rate them? And then I give them a number of scenarios where they change their rating up and down depending on... What they realised very quickly was that they're playing the rating game and we're all playing the rating game. We're rating ourselves and our lives versus other people. And because of that, we are totally miserable a lot of the time. And a lot of our young people are rating their lives versus their peers. So when they begin to realise, hold on a minute now, I'm rating myself as a person. I'm denigrating myself as a person when I don't feel I'm as good as the person beside me. When we begin to realise...
So social comparisons are a very insidious thing.
Very insidious. Well, they're very insidious, but this is deeper. This is an internal, personal assessment of myself as a human being, as a person. Whereas unconditional self-acceptance, which we as adults all need to learn and need to pass on to our children and teach them how to do this. And that means that we stop rating ourselves as a human being, but we take responsibility for our behaviour. And there's the kick in that if young people could be taught to stop, you know, in other words, separate who they are as a human being from the success or failure of their actions. And once they learn that I'm not the failure, for example, success or failure is one of the big things that I talk about in resilience. And one of the Irish professors who's in MIT was asked, what was the first thing she had to teach all her students? And it was to teach them how to fail.
Right.
They can't fail. They don't know what it means to fail. And also there's this crazy idea out there that I can be a success. That as a young person, that if I do all these things that are going on online, I can be a success. It is a road that leads to nowhere. So if I can learn that I'm not a success or a failure as a person, but I can be successful or fail at a task, then I separate these things out. And then I start. So, for example, let's take Anne-Marie gave a great example there of the junior cert, the mock cert, or et cetera. If, for example, I don't do well in an exam, it's not that I'm a failure as a person. I just failed at a task at that particular moment in time. It's learning, teaching the young person that life is full of failure, that I will fail regularly all the time. It doesn't define who I am as a person, but it means that if I can learn to manage and grow with failure, then I'm going to be so much more resilient. And there's a classic example.
Anne-Marie, are some people more instinctively self-accepting and therefore more resilient, or is it all learned?
I don't think anything is all learned about the psychology of human behaviour and our emotions and so on. But a lot can be learned and a lot can be developed at an early age. I suppose supporting people by modelling, as I said already, acceptance of failure seems to be important. I think some other factors that contribute to resilience would be qualities like self-esteem, linked to some of what Harry's talking about, and also having good quality relationships in your life. So if you have good quality friendships and good quality peer relationships and a supportive family, this helps you in so many ways because it equips you to meet stressful events, knowing that you have backup if you need it, right? So you can face these events more positively. And it also gives you a sense of worth from these groups that you belong to, which helps you cope with stress. And it also helps you see yourself as separate to those tasks that you might fail at, right? So there are many factors that contribute, but certainly supporting good quality early relationships, peer relationships, and exposure. I really think it's so important. Exposure to failure, to low level inconsequential failure, that helps equip us with what we need for life when we meet those bigger stressors that nobody can shield us from.
Right. And is it just a matter of having familiarity with failure and, you know, accepting the small ones that build towards the bigger one? Or are there particular skills that you can teach at the moment of failure that, you know, help people in later life?
I think it's a bit of both. I think the reason I keep talking about exposure to low-level stressors and failures as being important is because of a research study that I'm working on with somebody at the moment, Jennifer Hughes, who's a teacher. And she spoke with a lot of teachers about their perspective on young people's mental health and mental health awareness. And something that came out of her research was a feeling among some teachers, so not everybody, but some, that there is an increased, I suppose, avoidance of certain tasks during adolescence at school. So anything that can be considered evaluative, there are some students who are shying away from this more than in other generations, I suppose. And because of this, I think it's really important that we support young people who have significant mental health issues while also facilitating exposure to stressors to enable that resilience in future. Mm. And because we're trying to do both those things, support people with really genuine issues and ensure exposure to stressors, that's very difficult sometimes for us to do, and it's difficult for teachers to get right as well. So that's why I prioritise that. And in the moment of failure itself, discussing feelings about it and acknowledging it and making a plan of action for future can also be helpful. And also, if a young person struggles in this area, I think having a hobby or an activity, be it sport or music or volunteering, that facilitates success and disappointment and facilitates reflection on these kind of life situations can also help somebody develop those skills. And it just provides natural opportunities for learning.
All right, although if, say, in a school, the value system is built around sport, if you don't have those skills, you may be left with a big sense of unfairness that you have not been given what it takes to get on. So, Harry, how do you deal with that sense of unfairness and the hand you've been dealt?
Yeah, absolutely. But I just want to finish with the failure thing. The most important thing in life is that we get up again. So part of learning resilience to failure is to learn I'm going to fail, but I have to get back up again. Hmm. And I try, because I fail regularly, but I get up and I fail and I get up and I fail. And eventually I find a way to do whatever I want to do. But you're so right. Young people, in my opinion, struggle with two key things, discomfort and unfairness. They struggle with the discomfort of life, like boredom, for example. So many times we go into schools or academic things and we do have to do things we hate. We don't want to do them, but we do them because we get to a certain point. And secondly, life is very unfair. There's an innate unfairness to life. And I remember talking to a Leaving Cert group, and the last thing I said to them, anybody who leaves this class who believes that life is either full of comfort or is fair, better wake up. Because in real life, life is full of hassle, problems, difficulties, struggles, and life is innately unfair. People are unfair to us. I've more than perhaps more than many people have seen realities.
I suppose how do you break that news gently to young people and sound, you know, compassionate in breaking that news rather than saying catch yourself on.
I don't mean it in an unfair. They funny enough, young people get what you're talking about much more so than the adults. They understand what you're trying to say. I think the reality is that if you go into life thinking that life is because you've been like sailing in a sheltered harbour and suddenly exposed to the waves of life, you know, if somebody says to you, look, real life is tough, you know, in some senses you're preparing the person. Do you know what I mean? It's not you're not saying this in any negative sense. You're saying to them, look, you have to develop this sense of resilience out there that life will be difficult. Unfairness is all about carrying rocks. I call it like carrying rocks. We often feel that people treat us unfairly, so we put rocks on our back. So it's learning to accept that that people in themselves are not unfair. Do you know what I mean? Just their behaviour is unfair. Life is not itself unfair. It's just some people in life will be unfair to us and sometimes situations in life. And it's learning those realities is part of learning resilience.
Okay. And Anne-Marie, in terms of communicating to people, you know, that need to look at the actions of others as just the actions of others rather than something maybe if things are being done to you that it's somehow your fault and that this is here's more of it in your unfair life. How do you get, what's the skill to get people to stop and think and reflect in a healthy way?
Yeah, it's difficult because it's hard to tell somebody this unfairness you're experiencing. It's not to do with the person, it's to do with the act. And often it is. Of course, there's one distinction there, which is where an act might be related to bullying. So if there was chronic bullying, for example, that is unfair and that's very interpersonal and that needs to be discussed. I think when we're having these conversations with young people, we need to have them and have them openly and ask for what their perspective is. But we also need to not have them. And what I mean by that is we can talk and talk and talk about resilience and about mental health, but we also need to give space for people to develop resilience for when they do meet adversity and also to engage in the behavioural habits that support their mental health. So I would foster an open conversation with somebody, but I'd also look at the very basics. For example, is someone having good eating and sleeping habits? Are they spending time with people in their life that they enjoy spending time with? Do they have a hobby that gives them a sense of purpose outside of maybe the school setting? Those are behavioural actions that can be taken that will also foster the skills as well as having those important conversations.
Okay, Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick and Dr. Harry Barry, GP and Mental Health Specialist. Thanks very much for joining us on that. Plenty of food for thought. Coming up, why rarely seen beaked whales are getting stranded all over Europe, including in North Mayo.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.